I'm not going to read this whole thing tonight. We're going to read part of this together, but I'll just encourage you to take this home with you and read it. Of course, all the women are going to be interested in it because they want to be virtuous women, but all the men ought to be also because we want to be married to virtuous women and to encourage our virtuous women. So what I think I'm going to do, let's see here. Nathan, won't you come read, won't you read the Proverbs for us? Not that I'm going to read part of the sheet. I won't finish tonight. I won't finish. I'm through. I'm not going to finish this whole thing. I'm just going to read part of it because you can take it home ready for yourself. But I think it's real good. I got this out of a religious magazine. I thought it was excellent. It came at a good time. I'm going to let Nathan read for us Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. So come on, Nathan, let's read that. And we'll get our mind on the Proverbs scripture, and then we'll read part of this. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. Here. Okay, good.
All right, Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Okay, that's a wonderful, familiar, classic scripture. And we know, even in those days, that virtuous women must have been awful rare for him to be able to say, who can find a virtuous woman, her prize is far above rubies. But even today, I'm sure, it might even be more rare to find a true virtuous woman than it was even back in those days. And some of us are kind of spoiled because we've been around virtuous women all of our lives. I had a virtuous mama, a virtuous mother-in-law, and a virtuous wife, and I'm probably kind of spoiled. I never have been around a bunch of women who weren't virtuous. I have good sisters in the church also. And you're an uncommon lot, even when you realize, I don't encourage you in being a virtuous woman, because you well know from what we hear in the media does not put a premium at all on the thing we just got through reading. In fact, they make fun of it. Even people like Hillary Clinton, which I'm not talking politics tonight, but she even would denigrate some of the very things that characterize a virtuous woman. So we know you girls and women won't get your proper cue from the world we live in. In fact, it'd be just off, you have a lot of pressure put on you. But my prayer is that you will be and try to be even more virtuous than ever before. And you men all want to marry a virtuous woman. I know you do, that are not married. So you need to work hard. We're not talking about virtuous men tonight, but the men ought to be virtuous also. You ought to live in a way that you would be a fit companion for a virtuous woman. So I'm just going to read this, and you can read it with me if you will. I don't know whether we get through or not. I'm not going to hurry through it. There's a few things I've highlighted here, and I welcome any time. It must interrupt me. Just raise your hand, you have some comment to make, because we've had some good participation the last few Bible studies. And I've got a few things here I'd like to kind of emphasize. Let's just, I think this is good. That website seems pretty good. I got on there just briefly. If some of you sit there and want to get on that website, it might be worth getting on there. I didn't examine it closely, but it seemed like it might be a good one. Maybe have some good material you might even want to look at. I don't even remember who runs it. I just briefly looked at it one day. That's at www.virtuouswoman.org. Anyway, let me just begin to read, and we'll just see how we go here. God gives guidelines on how a virtuous woman should live. Proverbs 31 is an empowering look at the role of women. Not only is a virtuous woman righteous in the Lord, she's a loving wife and mother. Well, she's going to fill a lot of roles here now. This is impossible without the Lord for you to be a virtuous woman, much like I feel like that being a preacher sometimes. The Apostle Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? I know you feel the same way, but look at all these roles. Not only is a virtuous woman righteous in the Lord, but she's a loving wife and mother, a smart shopper, a seamstress, a gardener, a good housekeeper, and trains her children with wisdom. Her husband appreciates her and praises her because she is worthy of praise. Most Christian women today are not living up to what God has called us to be. Of course, that's true of men too, I'm sure. So with God's help, we can do better. And then she gives Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through prayer and studying God's word, we can be a virtuous woman. Well, let's go down to the attributes now. That she's highlighting some attributes. I don't even know who wrote the article already. The word of our mouth. A virtuous woman serves God with all of her heart, mind, and soul. She seeks His will for her life and follows His ways. True wisdom comes from our Heavenly Father. Through praying and studying the Bible, our wisdom grows. A virtuous woman shows those around her the love of Christ through the words that she speaks. And I got that highlighted on this one because this is certainly the truth. And I have to give my wife credit because a lot of times I've been amazed at the restraint Judy uses when, especially, we had a lot of children at home and things weren't going well. And I'm pretty prone to blow my stack, but she will almost always exercise self-control to restrain what she said. And I thank God for that. There are times your patience is tested and you find your temper flares. Sometimes a short reply seems to be the best response. But think before you speak. Ask yourself, is this what God would have me to say in this moment? It's easier to bite your tongue than to take back words already said. A virtuous woman does not need to raise her voice in anger or criticize another person. Part of becoming a virtuous woman is learning to control the tongue and speak with respect. And she's, of course, referring to that verse that said the law of kindness is in her tongue, that in Proverbs 31. When was the last time you found yourself asking for forgiveness for something you said? A virtuous woman begins her day with the Lord. Use that time to ask God to help you speak with wisdom and kindness to your family, friends, and those in your community. Remember that a soft answer turneth away wrath, right before it stirs up anger. The next time you're tested, give a soft answer and speak with wisdom. So I think that's all good material. Now, marriage, of course, not every woman gets married. This is talking about a virtuous woman who's married. I've got some of this highlighted because you sit there. I'm going to tell you all a few trade secrets tonight about things that really mean a whole lot to husbands. A virtuous woman respects her husband. And that's, you can underline that if you want to. Like I mentioned before, I went to a marriage, it's actually one we had down at camp. And it's called Love and Respect. And this couple that taught that through the video deal summed up everything about marriage in two words. And they got that from the last verse of Ephesians chapter 5. The wife says she reverence her husband. The husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. And what he said there, and he's right about that, what we men really need more than anything else is respect from our wives. We got a deep need for that. And what the women need is love for their husbands. Because we need, that works both ways, but basically, we really do need the respect of our wives. So you girls need to learn how to respect your husbands. And the men need to learn how to love their husbands better. And I'm going to tell you this, kind of one of my little secrets. But the reason I tell this is not to be funny or anything, but it just kind of tells how it is. That the movie series Pride and Prejudice is one of my favorites. And Judy and I have seen it lots of times. There's one line in there that just kind of sums up the way I feel. And it's when one of the ladies has fallen to this man. Y'all know which one it is if you've seen that. Her sister asked her, she said, "What do you care what he thinks anyway?" And then here's what she said. She said, "I cannot bear to think that he is anywhere in the world thinking ill of me." And I've memorized that line because that's the way I feel. If I think Judy feels ill of me, it just really weakens me a lot. I can't bear to think she's anywhere in the world thinking ill of me. But when she's thinking well of me, I could probably fight, you know, a whole army one hand tied behind my back. So you simply need to realize that we need your respect very much. The word reverence there in the King James means to respect there in chapter 5 there of Ephesians. Anyway, a virtuous woman respects her husband. She does him good all the days of her life. She's a trustworthy and a helpmate. A virtuous woman builds up her husband. She offers praise and kind words to make him feel like a man she wants him to be. And then she gives some scriptures. Whether your husband works in an office like the putter around the tools shed, or uses his hands to work hard, he wants to know that he is the man you desire. He wants to be your knight in shining armor, your hero, your big, strong, hook of a guy. Pretty big. Well, that's pretty what we want. We may not look too heroic, but that's what we want. I'm not kidding, girls. That's the truth. That's what we really want. We want you to think we want to be your hero. When he fixes the sink, and I have done that, believe it or not, a time or two. When he fixes, I'm not all that good at it, but I've done it. He fixes the sink for you. Tell him how clever he is. When he builds the kid the swing set, tell him how smart and strong he is. He saves money on a purchase. Tell him how much you appreciate his concern for your family's financial well-being. Don't criticize his effort. Tell him you could have done a better job. Don't make him feel like a failure. Women can do that pretty easy without even meaning to. We men are a lot more sensitive than you think we are. We kind of may look a little macho, but we kind of sensitive, really. Boy, don't get mad at me and tell all our trade secrets. You don't. Tell him you need him around and that he provides well for you. He will work hard to live up to your praise. Remember, God's word not to usurp authority over the man. So I think that's real good. You all read that paragraph again, sisters, and meditate on that. She has not overstated the case. We need the respect of our wives. We need their support and respect. They need to try to build us up all they can. And so it would be a better man. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay, on mothering. And you sisters have a lot to do, especially when the kids are young. You always have a big part in your children's raising. And even now, I think I've been a pretty good daddy. I could have been a lot better, but even now, it's amazing when the kids come, even the grown kids come home, they want to talk to mama first, and I don't resent that. I'm not jealous of them. There's something about mama. The kids, they always love their mom, and they like their dad too, and he's real important. But mama's just the heart of the home. The dad may be the head of the house, the mama's the heart of the home. A virtuous woman teaches her children the ways of her heavenly Father. She nurtures her children with the love of Christ, disciplines them with care and wisdom, and trains them in the way they should go. Our job as mothers is one of the utmost callings in life. That's certainly the truth. There's no, you've all heard the expression, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. There's probably a lot of truth to that. The consequences of failing to do our job is far worse than the consequences of falling short on any other job. I appreciate all of our sisters here who want to be keepers at home. Sometimes old lady may have to work. We know that. But if they don't have to work and they're able to be a keeper at home, how thank God for the many people at Great Chapel that we have who I know you made financial sacrifices because you realize that this job is the most important job in the world than being a mama. And even though you may not be appreciated by the world, I know God certainly appreciates what you're doing when you do what He ordained for you to do. We have to remember that our job is to plant and water the seeds. It is God that gives the increase to the seeds. Teaching our children the Word of God is so important. The Bible tells us that God's Word will not return void. It also tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And this, now I've got this next highlighted. That's why I'm always encouraging you when I give you a little word of advice every time I give you one of these Bible study sheets, trying to encourage you to be consistent. Notice the key word is train. Train. Telling them isn't good enough. We have to train them. This means consistent, dedicated training. But to walk it, talk it, and breathe it. And all that's hard. To just do it over and over and over and over and over again. I don't know a whole lot about Susan Wesley. I know a lot of people think she's a great mother, and maybe she was. She's reputed to be one, but I know she certainly was consistent anyway. And I remember one time that some man was at her house watching her with the children. And if I got this story right, I'll get it essentially right. And maybe he had to correct this kid 16 times, and finally he did it was right. And the man remarked about that. She said, if I hadn't done it 16 times, it would all the other efforts have been in bowl veil. Because when she kept on, you know, saying what to do, he wouldn't do it. She had to stick with it until the job got done. That's real hard. But it takes a lot of consistency. Okay, that's good right there, too, on mothering. Now, on health, I'm not going to reread that because it's very important. He just said we ought to take care of our bodies, and we certainly should take care of our bodies. But there's some things a little bit more essential that I want to go ahead, even though I'm not trying to de-emphasize that. We ought to certainly read that section there also and do the best we can to take care of ourselves, because our bodies indeed are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, on beauty. A virtuous woman is a woman of wealth and beauty. She has the inner beauty that only comes from Christ. You know, and it's not right. It's not wrong for a woman. I think my wife was very attractive. And I know you other husbands think your wives are. I'm glad Judy keeps herself attractive. And it's not wrong to do that. Some people would say it is wrong, but it's not wrong. It's right to do that. A Christian woman doesn't have to be real drab. I don't think she ought to be drab. But on the other hand, though, that's not where the essential grooming is the grooming of the soul, as Peter says. It's not the outward adorning that we spend the most time on. It's the inward adorning. It's amazing to me that when a woman really has that inward beauty, it seems to me like it radiates outwardly. At least it attracts me very much to see a godly woman, something just really sweet and serene about a godly woman who's got her heart in the right place. She got that meek and quiet spirit. To me, that's the true beauty. A lot of these women that think they're pretty, to me, they've got a hard look about them. Just some old worldly woman that's kind of ungodly. They may have some kind of physical beauty, but it doesn't really move me much. They got that old hard bitten look about them. She uses her creativity and sense of style to create beauty in her life and the lives of her loved ones. Holy women, that she mentioned in the scripture, holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Most of us, in our wedding vows, pledge to love and obey our husbands. Are we showing our beauty by being submissive wives? The word also says, for women to adorn themselves in modest apparel, with good works, adorning yourself with a meek and quiet spirit, the sight of God, of great price. Are you adorning yourself with modest apparel on the outside with a meek spirit on the inside? And on that modest apparel, sisters have to be real careful, because we live in a world of styles that are all real bad. And I'm not saying you have to dress in just a really extreme way, but we need to be modest. And you ought to ask your husband sometime, your brother, what modesty really is. I remember one time we had a singing school in Arkansas one time. The only time we ever had one there, I think, is at Shoal Creek in Arkansas. And then we'll forget this. We had some of Lowell Miles' daughters were there and some other girls were there. And so I decided to do an experiment. I got the men to write down things that women wore that would make them think the wrong kind of thoughts. And we did it in a discreet way. We didn't just get too graphic with it. We still did it where you know what you're talking about. And the girls just couldn't believe it. They just absolutely, women just don't understand men. That's all there is to it. And so you can't overdo it being modest and know what attracts a man is attractive visually. And it's a surprise, you girls sometimes, know what does attract a man. So you really ought to talk to your husbands, your fathers, and see what, if your clothing is appropriate. Because something you might think is appropriate, and it might be more modest than what most women wear today, but the world dresses so ungodly. And when you think you're dressing modestly, sometimes it's really not modest. It's really, you're really being provocative, and you don't even mean to be provocative. So I might talk about that sometime pretty soon. I might do that. But anyway, most of you women here are trying to do what's right, and I hope you'll continue to do so. Okay, on finances. A virtuous woman seeks her husband's approval before making purchases. She spends money wisely. She is careful to purchase quality items which her family needs. And I won't read the rest of that. The rest of that is really kind of technical. But I know it's a blessing to have a wife, though, like I've got, like many of you men have got, who really do know how to make that money go a long way and are not extravagant. I guess it must be really a curse for a man to have a wife who's a spendthrift. I've heard of men like that who just took them down and just kept on working continuously to make money for all their extravagances. But I haven't had to face that. And I don't know of any sister here that have. But it's an incredible blessing for a woman to take care of the finances and be frugal. It's just, we don't know how blessed we are. I don't know how blessed I really am. I know I don't. Okay, I've only got just a few minutes left, so I'm going to skip down. Well, no, I'm going to say something about time. There's something here about me that I've even discovered that has been I've got to be careful, so I'm going to read this one. Because all of you sisters here, the age we live in, we live in a very busy age. We all complain that we're doing too much, and we seem like that we never have enough time to get everything done that we need to get done. We're kind of frazzled. That's the way our culture is right now. So I do want to say a couple things about this. A virtuous woman uses her time wisely. She works diligently to complete her daily task. She does not spend time dwelling on those things that do not please the Lord. Time management is a tough one for all of us. And then she makes some suggestions here. Okay, daily time schedule and keep a date book to keep up with things, like doctor's appointments that we often forget. It's often hard to keep a schedule for two reasons. One is a lack of self-discipline. But then here's something I've got underlined in my thing. As you tweak your schedule, don't overdo the details. Because I'm kind of a disorganized person by nature. But I bet I'd do more record keeping than anybody in this church. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't get anything done. But I found out over the years, I got to revive my record keeping. Sometimes I spend so much time keeping records, I ain't got time to do what I'll be doing. That may sound kind of funny, but the devil can even trap you on stuff like that. So I think this lady got some pretty good stuff here. Don't overdo. We got to be flexible. And some ladies almost go crazy when they get just a million things done they plan to get done. Probably plan to get too much and they can't get it done. They stay frustrated all the time. So let me read this to you again. If you tweak your schedule, don't overdo the details. You will only frustrate yourself if you try to be too detailed in your planning. Begin by setting aside chunks of time for certain tasks and do not plan in 15-minute intervals. If you make your loose schedule a habit, you can incorporate more details one at a time. And reason two, and this is and conscientious women this way, and we got a lot of conscientious women in our church. I remember one time even Bill Gothard said at one of his seminars, because he had interviewed a lot of women, he said that that good women sometimes just almost tend to work themselves to death. And he kind of encouraged us men to kind of sit on top of our wife. He didn't mean that literally. I don't guess he did. But just kind of sit on top of them and keep them from overdoing it. But a woman sometimes just go beyond the breaking point. We men need to realize that. This is a hard one. It's easy to get overwhelmed by everything we need to accomplish on any given day. Schedule only the basics and do what you can to work in the rest. Keep your children on a schedule and work around them. Evaluate your schedule. Here's a good one. Evaluate your schedule. Make changes as needed. You can sit down and do this anytime you feel your schedule is not working well. It's not set in stone. If your life changes, so your schedule. I think that's a wise statement. If your life changes, so your schedule change. Okay, homemaking. A virtuous woman is a homemaker. She creates her an inviting atmosphere of warmth and love for her family and guests. She uses hospitality to minister to those around about her. Then she makes this parenthesis, you must invite others over to be hospitable. If you're a stay-at-home mother, that does not give you the right to be a lazy woman and wife. Be busy about your father's business. A virtuous woman works willingly with her hands. She sings praises to God, does not grumble when completing her task. Listen to all the things that the virtuous woman did. She sickens wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She brings her food from afar. She riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. The fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor and needy. She maketh herself coverings or tapestries. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. She looketh well to the way of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Just think about the women in recent years. They did not have washing machines, dryers, dishwashers, electric stoves, microwaves, and vacuums. They did it all by hand. What reason do we have to complain about housework? I can say something about that. She's partly right about that, but she's also partly wrong because things are a lot bigger than they were back in those days, too. A lot of times women had, she just had a very few tasks to perform in a rural setting. And so really, that is a partially good argument, but it's not totally good. He could make women feel real guilty because you got some appliances today and you think that something's wrong with you because you don't get more done. But life has changed, too. Life has changed a whole lot. Okay, being a holy one, I'll go ahead. We're almost through, so I'm going to go ahead and finish this. Just a little bit left. Just a little bit left. And I hope you'll read this and pray about it, meditate on it. Being a holy woman. Another good place to look in the Bible to learn about being a virtuous woman would be Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior of becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Behavior that becometh holiness. Some of these things are similar to Proverbs chapter 31. Not false accusers. Don't be associated with gossip or gossipers. Not given to much wine. Remember that drinking, even one drink, can be a stumbling block to others and lead to serious problems in your own life. Teach the good things. Set a good example. You never know who might be looking to you and watching your example, especially your children. Be sober-minded. Be serious-minded. Love your husbands. Love your children, teaching them the word of the Lord, being patient, nurturing, and disciplining consistently. Discreet, that means to be careful of shunning the appearance of evil. Be modest. Chaste, be morally pure, not having sex outside of marriage. Keep it at home, spend quality time with your family at home, doing meaningful things with your family, making good memories. Good, just do right. Just follow God's word. Obedient to the husband, but be submissive. Don't argue with your husband. Be fervent in praying. Wait for God to change his heart. And now I'll join her in this. May God help all of us, that's all of you, because I'm not a woman. May God help us all to become more virtuous and more holy today is my fervent prayer. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Through prayer and studying God's word, we can be virtuous women. So I thought that was real good. That's why I wanted to share it with you. Anybody want to make any comments? Any comments or any additional material? Well, I hope you'll take that home with you. Men and women, both you men, read that and pray for God to give you a virtuous woman. And we men who have a virtuous woman, let's appreciate her more and help her more. And you sisters who are not married, you try to be one. We can all benefit by that virtuous woman. This I'm going to get Susan to put this out, Susan, if you will, on an email for me. I guess I'm going to send you later, but this is the time we have Lord's Supper this coming Sunday. So we'll have a service and then have our lunch, and this is the third Sunday we'll have the Lord's Supper right after lunch. And I'm going to send you something that those of you have emailed that really moved me. I was reading it last night. Robert L. Dabney, some of you remember who he was. He was a Presbyterian preacher. He's also the chaplain for Stonewall Jackson for a while. And a pretty able guy. Anyway, he was writing about his daddy to his son. And he said, talking about how what a devout man his daddy was. But what really moved me was he talked about the incredible preparation his daddy put in before they had the Lord's Supper. And most of us don't put any preparation in. So I encourage you. I'll send this out. This court, I know you can't do what he did because most of us like this is a different age. But what this man did, even on, if I said he had the Lord's Supper on a Sunday, well, then Friday evening, he began to kind of shut down. He'd kind of start not doing so many farm duties. And he'd start reading the Bible, start reading good books, and he'd just start examining himself. And he'd get off by himself and all day Saturday doing that. And so he took the Lord's Supper very, very seriously. He was really examining himself, trying to get close to the Lord. And I'll send that out to you, but I think we all need to probably, since we're warning you now, that we all have the Lord's Supper Sunday, let's try to take a little time, just a real prayer, self-examination, after our Lord help us to discern the Lord's body better. And to, if there's anything amiss in our life, ask God to help us to repent of that and where we can get close to Him and take the Lord's Supper very seriously. I'm really moved by that example of Robert L. Dabney's daddy.